Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So tonight, I thought I'd talk about something very valuable. Most of you these days have it in your pocket. Some other people have it elsewhere on their body. It's behind me. It's in front of me. It is the most valuable thing you'll ever spend. Anybody know what it is? Time. Yes. I have it on my wrist, but I think nowadays they have it on your phone all the time now. But this is actually the most valuable thing, very precious to us all. It is very subtle, yet it has such a great influence on us. It influences our decisions every day, seasonally. It makes a difference in our lives year by year. It changes our lives. And it's described in many, many sayings about time. Srila Prabhupada liked to always use the one that time and tide wait for no man. He used that quite a bit. But there's a few other ones. Of course, time is money. You've always heard that because it is such a valuable thing. And it's the most valuable thing that you'll ever spend, like I said. And then it also says that men talk of killing time, while time quietly kills them. Another one is, time goes, you say. Ah, no. Time stays, we go. Another one, old time, the greatest and longest established spinner of all. His factory is a secret place. His work is noiseless, and his hands are mute. And this is my favorite one. Time is making fools of us again. Because here we are again in the material world. I have a tendency to be quite foolish sometimes. I do things over and think it's the same thing isn't going to happen again. I'll be working on something and burn myself or hurt myself. And I'll think, well, this time I'll do it, but it won't happen again. And of course it does. And I'm like, that's such a fool. I'm such an idiot. And so really time makes a fool of us, because lifetime after lifetime, we come here thinking that it'll be a little different, that we'll actually enjoy, that we'll actually fulfill all of our desires. And what happens? Time wears upon us, and our desires are never satisfied. And we have to come back again, because our bucket list is still not fulfilled. We've still got a few things on there. So we have to, Krishna grants us another lifetime, or two or three or four, to come back and try to satisfy these desires that come just being in this body. So this time we need to do something different. We have to utilize our time in a different way so that we don't become fools. I think it was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that said that actually we should be very embarrassed that we're in these bodies. That here we are again in all these funny looking bodies. You know? And we get funnier and funnier looking all the time. So, yes, it is embarrassing. Time is sometimes pictured as an old man, right? The oldest, of course, always been around. He usually has a long white beard, and usually sometimes it goes all the way down to the ground. I've seen some pictures. It actually goes way down like this. And, of course, he's very old looking. And he has an hourglass in one hand, and he has a scythe, a chopper, in the other hand. So he's kind of equalized as death. And even in the Vedic scriptures, what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Time I am, what? Destroyer of the worlds. Right? And so it's not, he's not depicted as very nice. Vedic literature, the name is Kala, or time. And it's equated with death, because it is deteriorating. So it's kind of scary to think of, you know, a scythe and death and everything like that. But for the devotee, it can be different. There's a very nice picture, I think it's in the Bhagavad Gita, somewhere in one of our books, a devotee painted. And it shows an ocean and a devotee with his hand out like this. And Vishnu seated on his beautiful Garuda coming down. And he's reaching down to grab the devotee's hand to take him. And of course he's smiling and he's beautiful. So this is for the devotee. This is what we think of as time. That this time is going to be different. That I'm going to be taken away by Krishna. So therefore, what do we do in Arctic? We practice, right? We practice with our hands out there so that we're not embarrassed. So we actually, yes, please, please take me. And so we need to practice that. And not just like this. Not just like this. Like this. So it'll be sticking out further than anybody else. And Krishna will swoop us up and embrace us. This death can be an embrace, a wonderful embrace by Krishna. And so the devotee doesn't think of it as such a scary thing. That actually, it's high time. It's high time to do something different. To actually fall in love with Krishna. To learn the art of loving Krishna again. And of course, we see that this takes some time. In this lifetime, it's said that we can achieve perfection, and it can be very different. There's a wonderful verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I was in Los Angeles when Srila Prabhupada gave a class on this verse. It's in the second canto. It says, both by rising and setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. So this is what can change everything. Instead of wasting time, we can utilize human form of life. And someone who's intelligent will see that, yes, I need to change these activities. In a human form of life, we're responsible for all of our activities. We get the result. The animals, they just follow their senses around. But we're responsible. We determine what we're going to do with our time. And Chirapalpat emphasized again and again, don't waste a second of time. You can't buy it back. He definitely encouraged us to be busy in Krishna's service 24 hours a day. When we take initiation from our guru, we clock in for a 24/7 onward going workday forever for the rest of our life. We're going to work for Krishna. We're going to do something different. We're not going to just become enslaved by our senses, which drag us from one body to another. We're going to do something different. The conditioned soul, he has some time management. But what is his goal? Sense gratification. How can I, this lifetime, enjoy more than I did last time? How can I be comfortable? And so therefore, his priorities in life are economic development. Because I can't enjoy it unless you got money. Face it. You know, especially, you have to have a lot of money these days. Just to take somebody out on a date probably costs $100 these days, I guess. You know, I don't know, it used to cost $2 to go to a movie. I don't know. Anyway, so you have to, you know, their whole lifetime is managed. In their youth, they get to enjoy it on the cost of their parents. It's a free bill, you know. But then, you know, school costs money. You have to take out a loan. But you have to get a good position to be able to have a nice profit in the end. And so therefore you work enslaved to try to enjoy. And then you have to save up for retirement, because that's when you're really going to enjoy, hopefully. If you make it that long, if you don't work yourself to death, then maybe you'll make it there. And so therefore you have to put aside all that, a certain amount of money. So then this is your time management, always thinking. And then you have to pay for your death. I'm about to turn 65, so I'm getting all these phone calls during the day. You would like cremation, burial, would you like cemetery? You don't want to have this burden on your kids? I get so many every day. You know, all week long I get these calls. It's okay. Luckily it's a, you know, it's just a telephone thing. I can just hang up on them. But, you know, anyway, because you have to pay for your own death even. You know, so you have to manage your whole time to pay to cremate your body. So this is not the time management that we learn of in Krishna consciousness. It's a whole different thing. The Vedic culture is meant to advance us spiritually, to give us the perfection of life, which is to become Krishna conscious, not body conscious, not just thinking of our senses all day long, but to actually learn how to enjoy on the highest level, on an eternal level, not this pitiful temporary stuff. And so, therefore, the Vedic culture says in the very beginning of life that the children, how are they raised? They come here and they learn to dance and chant and learn all the prayers and go over to the school. They're doing dramas about Krishna. They go back and make their parents Krishna conscious at home. And it's, you know, they learn respect for elders. They learn respect for God. They learn to come and bow down. And then later on in youth, they're sent to the Gurukula. They learn what an ashram is, what a shelter is, how to keep away from this influence that just drags us into this horrible consciousness of just enjoy. There's one atheist that was prominent. I think it was in Lord Chaitanya's time. I'm not sure when it was, but his name was Charvat Muni. And he was very famous. And he wrapped it all up in one saying. He said, beg, borrow, steal, but get ghee. Enjoy life, somehow or other. This is what you should do. But that is not what the Vedic culture says. It says that you figure out how to manage your time so that you're thinking of Krishna, so that you can be absorbed in every ashram, in every part of your life. And at the time of death, instead of figuring out how to enjoy with your sad, saggy body, you simply learn how to become detached, renounced, but attached to Krishna. How to be, you can absorb yourself, meditate on Krishna. This is the difference of Krishna consciousness, and this is what Srila Prabhupada thought about when he started this movement. His whole goal was to train us in how to utilize our time properly for the best use of this human form of life, how to put our priorities in place. And it's not that easy because there's a lot of allurement and there's a lot of responsibilities that go with it. But you can always keep Krishna in the center by the chanting of the holy names. We emphasize that so much in the beginning, just chanting, and of course, prasadam. And then he installed deity worship to help us absorb ourselves in offering so many different wonderful things to Krishna. So this is what this movement's about. It's a connection. It's a connection that we can actually begin to experience what this spiritual pleasure is. It's not just a fairy tale thing. It's just not a dream. It's actually a tangible thing. So therefore, Prabhupada insisted that we chant 16 rounds. He insisted we must do this. We must attend Mangal Arati. We must study his books. We must preach this to everybody. Because this will connect us. This will give us that juice. So therefore, we have to hear Prabhupada's instructions over and over again and to follow them. And every once in a while, I think that the best test for each one of you during the day is if you're actually making the best use of this lifetime, is to think that, what am I doing now? Whatever I'm doing, would Srila Prabhupada be proud of it? Would he be really proud of what I'm doing at this moment? Therefore, then we can understand that, yes, I have to manage my time better. I have to see that I'm always doing the proper thing, what will benefit my Krishna consciousness. So therefore, it's very important to have the spiritual master and to have the instructions, to have the proper recipe. How many of you ever cooked cookies before? Yeah, most everybody. You go and you try to find a good recipe. So you go online and you look for a lot of stars, right? 5 stars. You figure, okay, Betty Crocker's pretty good. So, and then you see 5 stars. So you look under the ingredients. So we want perfection. We want the perfection of life, which is loving, a sweet, loving relationship with Krishna again. So therefore, we go to the best. Srila Prabhupada, he's the best. He's 5-star. He'll give us what we really want. And it's authorized by all the acharyas. It's tested. It's proven. They've tried the recipe. They've chanted. They've done everything that Prabhupada is teaching us. And they've gotten the result. So therefore, we know it's a good recipe. And so what are some of the things? Faith. You have to have that ingredient. You have to know Prabhupada's books. You have to have faith in the holy name. You have to have conviction. You don't need anything else. You know that these ingredients are what I really need. And then you have to have a leavener, right? Baking soda, baking powder, something like that. So enthusiasm. You put that in there, fluffs out your heart, right? Makes it rise. Makes that love of God rise up to the top again so that you can experience Krishna. So then you set the timer on. No, you set the temperature, right? You have to look and see what temperature. So that's our sadhana. Steady. You don't want to turn it up to 500 and turn it down to 200. Your cookies will flatten out, right? So you have to be very steady in your sadhana, chanting every day. Not just, fly off the hook one day and decide you want to go on a vacation into Maya. And then the next week, oh, please, Prabhupada, I'm sorry. Steady devotional service, association with devotees. And don't get too anxious. Don't go opening the door and look at your cookie, slam it, and it's all finished, right? Right. Be patient. Don't open the door. Don't think, oh, when am I going to see Krishna? When am I going to hear his flute? When's that love of God had come? Why? It's been 45 years now. Why is Krishna not talking to me on the altar when I dress? And be patient. This is also very, very important. And so then we just have to pray to our spiritual master, hope that we do everything right in this lifetime. And then I will be done. I'll be done. I'll be have that love of Godhead when my body's done. Or maybe before. It's possible that actually we can experience pure love of Godhead, even before our body has deteriorated over this time. So if we really want to taste the sweetness, then we have to follow this recipe. It's a tried and true recipe. There's, in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, it describes, it's a very figurative description about the living entity. I think it's called the forest of enjoyment, like we were saying. Everyone comes here trying to enjoy into this forest. They don't realize it's such a deep, dense forest until they get entangled in it, right? And it describes Chandravega. Chandravega means swiftly passing. Chandravega is a name for time. And it comes with soldiers, black and white soldiers. 350 black ones, 350 white ones, day and night. These soldiers come and they plunder the body. They attack our body, right? It's a serious thing. And but there's a five-hooded serpent, it's described. This five-hooded serpent is the different pranas, or the life forces within our body. And they try to defend the body, even though time is the soldiers are attacking. But in time, even those pranas, those life forces, they get fatigued. Very fatigued. And they get overcome. And then, this is called the struggle for existence, right? Very, very difficult to maintain for so long. And then, the daughter of time comes, because she's very anxious. Her name is Jara, right? This is invalidity, old age, disease, all these things. Now, I just got back. I spent 2 days with my mother. She's 90, almost 93. And she fell out of bed and hurt herself. So I went down. And so I pulled into this retirement center. Unfortunately, the only place, like a park said, future resident of Horizon Bay. I thought, oh my gosh, well, this is a great, you know, no, please, no. And then you go in these places, you know, and it's just like, it's, you know, it's frightening, you know? And then someone approached me like I was a resident there. And I go, oh, great. I must really be getting looking pretty bad, you know? So it's, you know, it's sooner than we think. Our time is running out. For some of us, it's very close. One godbrother of ours, he used to be in the Marari band. I don't know if a lot of you probably remember that. Back in the 70s, it was a great band, Vella Budrin, and in Atlanta. I used to go to the festival just to hear them sing songs. And he just left his body 2 days ago in Mayapur. First time in India, only in Mayapur for 2 days. Had a heart attack on a motorcycle, and was killed. And so they sent a, he didn't know that was going to happen. No idea. And they sent a thing on Facebook of some of the old songs that they used to sing, and one was called Struggle for Existence. How will you survive? And so you go to these rest homes and you see, you don't survive. And it's a very, this Jara, this old age, very, very miserable situation. And when she comes, you become so fatigued, she drains all your happiness. She takes it all away. And I see, now my mother, you know, the party's over. It's coming to the end, you know, miserable. So you can see that this is different for a devotee. It doesn't have to be this way. She wants to kill time by sleeping because she doesn't have anything to do. She doesn't have anything to be absorbed in. She has nothing positive, even though I tried talking. Anyway, so, but we do. It's different. We have the time. In our old age, we have time now. We should make time in our lives now to change our consciousness from body to spirit so that we can transcend the sufferings that are definitely going to happen to the material body. It can be very different for us. And because we have such a priceless thing. We have Krishna. And Krishna stays. because Krishna is eternal. Krishna will stay with the soul. And so we want to make sure that that soul is in contact with Krishna all the time. So therefore, we can become very much absorbed in the transcendental pastimes of Krishna. Pastimes. These aren't just like our pastimes. The pastimes, these are indicate leisure, pleasure. The pleasure of the Lord, so many wonderful things that he does. We can absorb ourselves in hearing of these pastimes. I was telling my mother, you know, I could tell you so much about God, you know, if you want to hear. I said, there's so much, millions of books, so much. But anyway. But every day, it is our duty to still ourselves, keep ourselves filled, so that at the time of death, what will come up? Krishna immediately will come up in our heads, because we don't know when it might happen. And not only just the pastimes of Krishna, but what the spiritual world is like. It's called Vaikuntha. No anxiety. We can be there if we have that proper consciousness. We have a Vaikuntha consciousness if we have Krishna there. Because there's no deterioration, there's no fading in the spiritual world. Everything is beautiful. It's said that actually time is conspicuous by its absence. Although things are going on, Krishna wakes up and everyone takes care of Krishna, and Mother Yasoda cooks, and Yasoda and Radharani is helping at certain times of the day, but nothing is fading. It doesn't ever end. It's continuously going on. So this is where we should spend our time. Lord Chaitanya 500 years ago came, and he actually displayed what it's like to be absorbed in Krishna all the time. He was with his devotees many times, chanting. They'd go to someone's home and begin kirtan like we had today. And all of a sudden, he'd go in the evening, late at night, all of a sudden, it'd be light outside. They wouldn't realize it, but it's already morning. You know? That's the best way to spend your time. Time flies and you're having fun, right? Or when he met Ramananda Roy, a great Vaishnava, he met and they sat down just to speak, and just to speak, and to speak some more about Krishna, more about Krishna, and it was the next day before they knew it. And we see this happen with ourselves. We have these 24-hour kirtans, 12-hour kirtans, right? It goes on and on. We're receiving that taste. We're seeing the eternality of these activities. We were at a bhajan last week, and it was just like, no, we don't. Who wants to stop? Let's just do this all night, you know. Unfortunately, our bodies had other things to do. But we were thinking, and actually, we should have a 24-hour bhajan. If anyone would like to take part, let me know, and actually go and read all the translations and discuss all the different prayers that are in our line, discussing all the pastimes of Krishna. So yes, we can pass our time, we can fill our time with wonderful transcendental things. And we're experiencing that change. But then there are some people that rather spend their time reading Time magazine, right? And it's the same thing over and over again. You can pick up any Time magazine from years ago or today or whatever, and it's the same sick activities, pastimes of the mundane world, right? Different names of wars, different names of people that have done this, different diseases that are coming, different catastrophes. This is a way to make the worst use of your time, is to just dwell on all these things. Better to hear of the pastimes of Krishna. But not only physically can we waste our time, but mentally. Have you ever gotten absorbed in just thinking of some past something or other, or lamenting or hankering for the future, and it drains your energy, right? You can just be lost and just make yourself depressed or just so anxious for something that you'll never receive. That's a waste of time too. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has made a wonderful poem. I'm going to read a couple of the verses. What it has to do with this is his words, very important. Forget the past that sleeps, and ne'er the future dream at all. But act in times that are with thee, and progress thee shall call. So don't think of the past. I know I think, oh, remember the old days in ISKCON, oh, Vrindavan used to be like this. Or thinking of the future, oh, if only, maybe perhaps, procrastinating of things that you probably never do. Right? And then he goes on to say, maintain thy post in spirit world as firmly as you can. Let never matter push thee down. Oh, stand heroic man. So if we have saintly persons to help hold us up, to keep us in the spiritual world, like Srila Prabhupada and all the past acharyas, all these books, we can become heroic. We can overcome this Chandravega, this jara, this time that will waste us away. So we have to take shelter of the spiritual master and the instructions of the spiritual master and not waste 1 minute of our day. And then the last verse, there rests my soul from matter free upon my lover's arms. Eternal peace and spirit's love are all my chanting charms, are all my chanting charms. So this is what a devotee can look forward to, is a beautiful eternal relationship embraced with great love by Sri Krishna. So it is up to us how we want to spend our time. It's an important thing that we should think about and we should take advantage of. It's the most valuable thing that we'll spend. So maybe we can take advice from Srila Prabhupada and spend it glorifying Krishna. And the best time is now, right? Start right now, not waste another minute. I recently went to a estate management thing because I'm thinking, well, I don't want my child to have to worry about my after I leave. And all during the thing, they're trying to convince you to do this trust thing. And so they get you really convinced and they go, so when's the best time? Right now, right? Now. And so it's the same thing. So hopefully you're convinced that right now we should not ever waste another second, but we should always be engaged in Krishna service so that Srila Prabhupada is very proud of us and will keep us lifted up to the highest consciousness so whenever time does come to take us, that we will have Krishna on our side and he'll want to swoop us up and to embrace us. So anybody have anything else? You have any questions or you could add something to this or maybe some disagreement? Someone have a better way to use their time? Yes? We have to feel his shelter. And so if you're thinking of him, you are non-different than being with him. So the chanting of the holy name, you're always with him. And so there won't ever be any fear. Not only that, that if you're always chanting or discussing his pastimes or serving him, then that service develops that love. So we have to be as close as possible to Krishna. And then there's no fear. It's just when that gap comes, that there is fear. So the best way is to associate with people that always are in Krishna's service and help protect you. So therefore the ashrams are very important, to stay within an ashram. Find one that you're comfortable in so that everyone is helping you advance in household ashram or celibate ashram or whatever, that you're in like association to help you progress towards that goal. So there's no gap. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So that's utilizing your time, because you're thinking of the enjoyment of Krishna. So if you have that much time extra, that's fine. if you have that kind of time, best to spend it serving Krishna. We have to learn how to set our priorities. It's very important, especially in householder life. It's very difficult because you have so many priorities. But you have to keep, like you said, with Krishna in mind, Krishna's satisfaction. In mind. And then that's perfection. Yeah, so that means Krishna was satisfied. So that's the, if you know you're doing the right thing, you'll feel satisfied. And like you say, distributing prasadam, it's very nice, because you feel satisfied when you give prasadam away. And you see, Prabhupada would be so happy. I was there when actually Prabhupada was during a Guru Puja, came in and sat down on the Vyasasana. They took the picture when he sat down, and they were singing Mangala Arati prayers. At that time they didn't have the Guru Puja prayers, and he stopped at Chaturvida, about how the spiritual master is so happy to see all the devotees taking prasad. He stopped and he said, that's the best part. And so everyone, and then he went on with the rest. But yes, so distributing prasadam. So now it is prasadam time, which is a great time. Unless there's any other questions, then take the saddle. Yeah.